Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to Reading with Rick. And here we are again, together for some bedtime stories. We're going to hear a couple of Disney stories tonight to start things off. I found a great book, and it's just full of great stories. It says, get ready for bedtime with all your favorite Disney and Pixar characters. Oh, let's see. Let's take a look. What? Bedtime for Max. Goodnight Thumper. The Little Mermaid. Wreck-It Ralph. Toy Story. Winnie the Pooh. Lady and the Tramp. Peter Pan. Finding Nemo. Up. Sleeping Beauty. The Lion King. 101 Dalmatians. The Jungle Book. Mickey Mouse. Bambi. Oh, those are going to be some great stories. We're going to start tonight with two stories out of this book. The first one is going to be called Bedtime for Max. And this has Rapunzel in it. You know who Rapunzel was? She had really long hair. She's going to be in the first story, and Max is a horse. And then our second story tonight will be Goodnight Thumper. That'll be just in time for you to head off to bed. So we'll say Goodnight Thumper to you tonight. But let's get started. And then we're going to finish the night with Jack and Annie in the Magic Treehouse. And remember, they have to have some gifts given to them. They had two of them so far. Last night they got an eagle feather, and the night before a watch. And they need something tonight from a faraway jungle. So it's tigers at twilight. Last night was buffaloes at breakfast. Today is tigers at twilight. That's our Magic Treehouse story tonight. Okay, let's get started here with this story called Bedtime for Max. It was a beautiful morning in Corona. Everyone was enjoying the day. Everyone, that is, except the captain of the guard, Maximus. Max was hard at work, patrolling the streets for troublemakers and evildoers. Is it just me, or does Max look strange? Flynn asked Rapunzel as they strolled through town. Rapunzel studied Max. He had dark circles under his eyes, and his normally neat mane was messy. You're right, she said. He doesn't look like he slept in weeks. Flynn and Rapunzel found Max's second-in-command and asked him what was wrong with their friend. The captain has been so worried about doing a good job, the guard said, that he hasn't been sleeping. No matter how many guards we put on duty, he insists that he needs to stay on patrol. Rapunzel was worried. Refusing to sleep couldn't be good for Max. You know what this means, she told Flynn with a knowing look. Plan time? Flynn asked. Plan time, Rapunzel agreed. The two went off to figure out their plan. When they returned, they found Max running drills with his guards. Max, Rapunzel cried, I can't find Pascal anywhere. Can you help me find him? I'm afraid something might have happened. Max puffed out his chest. He was on the case. He started to sniff the ground, searching for the chameleon's scent. Flynn and Rapunzel followed Max all around town, but Pascal was nowhere to be found. Remember, Max is a horse. Finally, as they turned toward the stables, Max caught the chameleon's scent. The friends burst through the stable doors, eager to rescue Pascal, but he was fast asleep in a pile of hay. You found him. Great job, Max, Rapunzel said. Say, Max, old buddy, Flynn said, since we're here in the stables with this nice pail of hay, what do you say to a nap? But Max just shook his head. He was too busy to take a break. Rapunzel and Flynn looked at each other, disappointed. They'd hoped that by tricking Max into following them to the stables, they could convince him to rest. But it looked like they were going to need another plan. Luckily, Flynn was on the case. A little while later, Flynn and Rapunzel found Max inspecting ships that had arrived at the harbor. "Max, all the apples have been stolen from the orchard," Flynn shouted. Max knew he had to do something. He couldn't let a thief get away on his watch. He raced toward the apple orchard. His friends were close behind. Together, the team searched the orchard for clues about the missing apples. Soon, Max spotted some footprints. He and his friends followed them back to the palace and into the kitchen, where they found a piping hot apple pie. The apples hadn't been stolen after all. The chef had used them to make a special treat for the royal family's dinner. "Apple pie? I love apple pie," Flynn exclaimed. "But it always makes me sleepy. Do you want a bite, Max?" But Max just shook his head again. He didn't have time for pie. With the case of the missing apples solved, he had to get back to work. Corona needed him. Disappointed, Flynn looked at Rapunzel. He had been sure that his plan was going to work. "Maybe we can tire him out enough that he has to sleep," Rapunzel suggested. "We just need to make him run around for a while." And suddenly, she had an idea. "We have to get to the Snuggly Duckling," Rapunzel told Max. "The Pug Thugs are in trouble." Trouble was the only word Max needed to hear. He motioned for Rapunzel and Flynn to hop on his back, and the three galloped toward the Snuggly Duckling. Max burst into the Snuggly Duckling. He scanned the tavern, looking for the troublemakers. But everyone was gathered around the piano, singing and laughing. Max looked at Rapunzel and Flynn, confused. No one was in trouble. With a sigh, he turned to leave. "Wait, Max," she said. "We're sorry we lied to you. We were just worried. The truth is, we've been trying all day to make you rest." "We were just trying to help," Flynn added. "You do need a break, Max," Rapunzel said. "Can't you just stay for one song?" Max was touched that his friends cared enough to spend the day trying to help him. With a whinny, he agreed. One song couldn't hurt. Rapunzel grinned and whispered something in Hookhand's ear. Hookhand is playing the piano. He nodded and then began to play a quiet, peaceful lullaby on the piano. As Rapunzel sang along, she noticed Max swaying to the music. Slowly his eyes began to close, and soon Max was fast asleep. Flynn put a blanket over Max, and Rapunzel motioned for everyone to quickly leave the Snuggly Duckling. As the thugs quietly closed the door behind them, Rapunzel gave Flynn a hug. It had taken them all day, but they had finally gotten Max to take a well-deserved break. And that was a fun story about getting Max to take a nap. Now, let's have another sleepy story. This one is called Good Night Thumper. It was a perfect summer evening. The moon hung high in the sky and the stars twinkled over the forest. All of the bunnies had gone to sleep for the night. All of the bunnies except for Thumper. Thumper wasn't tired at all. He bounded along looking for a friend to play with him. In the meadow, Thumper spotted one of his mouse friends. "Do you want to play hide-and-go-seek?" Thumper asked. "Maybe tomorrow," the mouse said. "It's too late to play now. I have to get ready for bed." The mouse reached toward the top of a mushroom and grabbed a falling dewdrop. He used the drop to wash his face. Then the mouse curled up beneath the mushroom to go to sleep. "Good night, Thumper," he said with a big yawn. Thumper said good night to his friend, and he bounced away. Next, Thumper came to a pond. A mother duck was tucking her three baby ducklings into bed. "Can the three ducklings come out to play?" Thumper asked. "Not tonight, Thumper," the mother duck replied. "It's past their bedtime. You can all play in the morning." The three ducklings snuggled close to their mother in the soft mossy grass, their eyes slowly closing as they drifted off to sleep. Thumper kept hopping through the forest. Maybe his chipmunk and squirrel friends would want to play. He stopped beneath their tree home and looked up. High above in the branches, the squirrel was sleeping on his back. The chipmunk was also fast asleep, and he was curled up in the squirrel's tail. Thumper sighed. No one wanted to play with him. Suddenly, Thumper heard a familiar voice. He perked up his long ears, and he listened closely. His mama was calling his name. Thumper still wanted to play, but he knew it was time to go home. Turning himself around, he ran through the forest toward the sound of his mama's voice. When Thumper got home, his sisters were waiting. They hugged him tight. "Thumper," they greeted him, "we woke up and you were gone. We couldn't go back to sleep without you." Thumper smiled. He had missed his sisters, too. They were his best friends. "It's time to get ready for bed, my dear," Thumper's mama told him. Thumper went outside to wash his paws and eat, and his sisters followed. Smiling mischievously, Thumper splashed one of his sisters. She looked at him in shock and then smiled and splashed him back. Soon, all five bunny siblings were splashing and laughing and having a fun time. Before long, Mama and Papa came outside to get the bunnies. They kissed their bunnies goodnight and tucked them all into their beds. "We love you very much," Mama and Papa said together. The bunnies all snuggled close, but Thumper still wasn't sleepy. "Papa, will you tell us a story?" asked Thumper. "All right, Thumper, but only one story," said Papa. Papa began to tell a story about all the animals that lived in the forest. Thumper listened excitingly, mesmerized by every word. He loved his Papa's stories. And one by one, the little bunnies drifted off to sleep. Papa finished his story. He smiled and looked down at his five little bunnies. Thumper was curled up among his sisters, fast asleep. Mama and Papa each gave him another kiss. "Good night, Thumper," Papa whispered. "Sweet dreams." And now we say sweet dreams to you little Thumpers that are headed off to bed. Those were a fun couple of Disney stories about Max and Thumper. We got a whole bunch more stories in this book. So we've got some good bedtime stories still to come for you on Reading with Rick. And we'll take our little break tonight and we'll come back and find out what is the next adventure for Jack and Annie and the Magic Treehouse. We are back on Reading with Rick, and it's time to follow along with Jack and Annie on another Magic Treehouse adventure, and tonight it's Tigers at Twilight. Have you ever seen a tiger in a zoo? Aren't they big, beautiful cats? They're so big and graceful, but they're so quiet too when they sneak around in their cage. Sometimes they sneak up on something and you, as big as they are, you don't even hear them coming. Their paws are so soft. They don't make a sound when they walk. But we're going to find out about a tiger that causes some problems for Jack and Annie tonight. So, one summer day in Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, a mysterious treehouse appeared in the woods. 8-year-old Jack and his 7-year-old sister Annie climbed into the treehouse. They found it was filled with books. Jack and Annie soon discovered that the treehouse was magic. It could take them to the places in the books. All they had to do was point to a picture and wish to go there. Along the way, Jack and Annie discovered that the treehouse belonged to Morgan Le Morgan is a magic Arthur. Time and space books. Jack and Bell, they also solved 4 ancient riddles and became master librarians. Jack and Annie also had to save 4 ancient stories from being lost forever. Now they're on missions for Morgan Le Fay to break a spell. They have to be given 4 special gifts to help free an enchanted dog from a spell. They've already received a gift on a trip to the Titanic and a gift from the Lakota Indians. Now they're about to set out in search of the third gift. Jack and Annie walked past the Frog Creek Woods on their way home from the library. "I miss Teddy," said Annie. "Me too," said Jack. "He's a really smart dog," said Annie. "Yeah," said Jack, "and brave." "And wise," said Annie. "And funny," said Jack. "And here," said Annie. "What?" said Jack. "Here," Annie pointed at the Frog Creek Woods. A small dog with tan-colored fur was peeking out from the bushes. "Arf! Arf!" he barked. "Oh, wow, Teddy," said Jack. The little dog ran off into the woods. "Let's go," said Annie. She and Jack raced after Teddy. The Frog Creek Woods glowed with late afternoon sunlight. The dog ran between the trees and finally stopped at a rope ladder. It hung from the tallest oak tree and led up to the magic treehouse. Teddy waited for Jack and Annie to catch up. He panted and wagged his tail. "Hi, you," cried Annie. She picked up the little dog and hugged him. "We missed you." "Yeah, silly," said Jack, and he kissed Teddy, and Teddy licked his face. "Is it time to get our third gift?" asked Annie, and Teddy sneezed as if to say, "Of course." Annie grabbed the rope ladder and started up. Jack put Teddy inside his backpack and followed. They climbed into the treehouse. There was the note from Morgan Le Fay. It was on the floor, just where it had been 2 days ago. Jack let Teddy out of his pack. Annie picked up the note and read, "This little dog is under a spell and needs your help. To free him, you must be given 4 special things: a gift from a ship lost at sea, a gift from the prairie blue, a gift from a forest far away, a gift from a kangaroo. Be wise, be brave, be careful. Morgan." Jack touched the first 2 gifts, which they'd already gotten, a pocket watch from the Titanic and an eagle's feather from the Lakota Indians of the Great Plains. "Now we have to get the gift from a forest far away," said Annie. "I wonder how far away," said Jack. "I know how to find out," said Annie. "Where's our book?" She and Jack looked around the treehouse for one of the research books that Morgan always left them. "Arf! Arf!" Teddy pawed a book in the corner. Jack picked it up and read the title, "Wildlife of India." "Oh, man, India," he said. "That's very far away." "Let's get going," said Annie. Jack pointed at the cover of the book. "I wish we could go there," he said. And the wind started to blow, and the treehouse started to spin. And it spun faster and faster. And then everything was still. Absolutely still. But only for a moment. The warm air burst with sound. "Cuckoo! Ee-yah!" "What's going on?" said Jack. He and Annie looked out the window. The sky was lit by an orange glow as the sun went down. The treehouse was in a tree by a stream at the edge of a forest. The wild screeching and cawing came from the forest's tall, leafy trees. Just then, two creatures leaped onto the windowsill. "Ah!" Jack and Annie yelled. They jumped back. Annie burst out laughing. "Arf! Arf!" Teddy barked. Two small monkeys peered at them. Their dark faces were framed with light gray fur. They looked as if they were wearing tiny parkas. "Hi," said Annie. "I'm Annie. He's Jack. And he's Teddy. What are your names?"
"Kako, Kako," the monkeys chattered.
"Cool," said Annie. She turned to Jack.
"Her name is Ka. His name is Ko."
"Oh, brother," said Jack.
"I bet he is her brother," said Annie.
Ka and Ko whooped as if laughing at Annie's joke. Their yellow eyes twinkled.
"We came to get a gift from the forest," said Annie. "Do you know where we can find it?"
The monkeys nodded and chattered, and then they started down the tree. Using their long tails and arms, they swung from branch to branch. They jumped to the ground and looked up.
"Coming, bring Ted. Bring Teddy, Jack," Annie said, and then she started down the ladder.
Jack quickly flipped through Wildlife of India. He found a picture of the gray monkeys, and he read, "This monkey is called a langur. The word langur means having a long tail." Jack pulled his notebook and pencil out of his backpack, and he wrote, "Langur means long tail." Annie's laughter came from below. It blended with the sounds of the forest.
"Arf! Arf!" barked Teddy.
"Okay, okay," said Jack, and he put the book, his notebook, and Teddy into his pack. Then he hurried down the ladder. Annie was playing with the langurs on the stream bank. Jack put Teddy on the ground. Ka bounded over to Jack and grabbed his hand. The langur's paw felt like a tiny human hand. Ka pulled Jack toward the forest. Ko pulled Annie, and Teddy scampered after them. The langurs climbed the huge leafy trees. Then they began swinging from branch to branch like kids on a jungle gym. Annie dashed beneath the swinging monkeys. Teddy ran after her.
"Wait, wait," Jack called, hurrying after them all.
"Annie, slow down. We don't know anything about this place." The langurs slowed down as if they understood Jack's words. Jack caught up with Annie, and they walked on through the forest.
"This is so amazing," said Annie.
Jack agreed. The sunset gave the trees a fiery glow. The hot air smelled sweet. Blue peacocks spread their tails. Yellow birds flew from tree to tree. Small deer ate red flowers in a clearing.
"It's like paradise," said Annie.
"Yeah, but don't forget the title of our book, Wildlife of India," said Jack. "Wildlife means scary animals, too." Jack noticed long, deep gashes in a tree as they walked by. He stopped.
"What happened there?" he said.
Annie shrugged and kept walking. Jack pulled a book out of his pack. There was a picture of a tree with gashes. He read aloud, "Tigers sharpen their claws on tree trunks. They leave big gashes in the bark."
"What?" said Annie.
She stopped and looked back at the tree.
"See what I mean?" said Jack. "Tigers live here, and one of them just came this way."
"Tigers?" said Annie. "Cool." Jack read more. "A wild tiger eats almost 5,000 pounds of fresh raw meat a year."
"Oh, not so cool," said Annie.
Jack went on. "Tigers usually leave elephants alone, and like many smaller cats, tigers often avoid wild dogs." Teddy growled. "Wild dogs, not a shrimp like you," Jack said to Teddy. "A tiger would eat you in a minute." Teddy growled again. Just then, Ka and Ko began hooting.
"Coo, coo, coo,"
the peacocks cried.
"Caw, caw."
The small deer made short barking sounds and stamped their hooves.
"What's going on?" said Annie.
"We better put Teddy in my pack," said Jack, "to keep him safe." Jack slipped the dog into his pack. Teddy's head poked out the top.
"All set?" Jack asked the little dog, and Teddy growled again.
This time, a deep, fierce growl answered back. It seemed to surround them. Jack's hair stood on end.
"Yikes!" said Annie.
"A tiger!" said Jack.
"Arf! Arf!" Teddy barked.
Ka and Ko screeched at Jack and Annie from their tree.
"They want us to join them," said Annie.
"Come on!" She grabbed a branch and climbed up.
Jack's hands were shaking as he put his backpack on. He grabbed a branch and pushed off the ground. He pulled himself into the tree. Another growl shook the forest. "Oh, man," said Jack. "Coo, coo, coo!" The langurs climbed higher up the tree. Jack and Annie followed them, climbing from branch to branch. The sky above was no longer glowing. The bright orange had faded to a twilight gray. Jack looked down. He couldn't see the ground at all. He listened for another scary roar. Only the cries of frightened forest creatures filled the air. "Maybe the tiger's gone," said Annie. Jack glanced at Ka and Ko. The langurs cuddled together. Their dark faces looked worried. "And maybe not," said Jack.
"How can we get through the forest without running into them?" said Annie.
"That's a problem," said Jack, "and it's getting dark soon. We won't be able to see anything." Ka and Ko hooted again. They pointed down the tree trunk.
"Arf! Arf!" Teddy barked from Jack's pack.
"Do they see the tiger?" Jack asked, his heart thumping again. He couldn't see anything but leaves and branches. Then, far below, he saw the tree trunk move.
"A snake!" said Annie.
The snake was slithering around the trunk. It had black and tan markings. The snake's body was as thick as the tree trunk.
"A python!" breathed Jack.
The python kept curling up the tree trunk.
"Is it poisonous?" asked Annie.
And Jack pulled out their book. By the last light of the day, he found a picture of a python, and he read aloud, "The python is not a poisonous snake."
"Woo!" said Annie.
"Not so fast," said Jack, and he read more. "To kill its prey, the python squeezes it to death, then swallows it whole. A python can swallow an animal the size of a full-grown deer."
"Oh, yuck," said Annie.
"This is more than just yuck, Annie," said Jack. "This is life or death." Ka and Ko chattered at Jack and Annie.
"Not now," said Jack. "We have to think."
The langurs grabbed thick vines. They leaned back. Then they jumped out of the tree. The langurs swung through the air like trapeze artists. They swung over bushes and tall grass and landed in another tree. They screeched at Jack and Annie and waved their arms.
"I know what they're saying," said Annie. "They want us to copy them."
Annie grabbed a vine. Jack looked back at the python. The giant snake was still winding its way up the tree. It had almost reached their branch. Jack took a deep breath. Then he grabbed a vine, too.
"Lean back, like Ka and Ko did," said Annie.
And Jack and Annie leaned back.
"One, two, three, go," said Annie.
And they swung out of the tree. Jack felt his stomach drop. Air rushed by. Leaves and branches slapped at him. And suddenly, the forest shook with a great roar. Like a flame, a tiger leaped up from the bushes. His yellow eyes blazed. His teeth shone like daggers. His claws barely missed Jack and Annie.
"Ah!" they yelled.
The tiger crashed back down into the bushes. Jack and Annie swung into the langur's tree. Jack threw one leg around the trunk. He let go of his vine and held on tightly to a branch.
"Oh, man," he said. He was in shock.
The langurs patted him as if to make sure he was okay.
"Wow, that was fun," said Annie, sitting on a big branch.
"Fun? Are you nuts?" said Jack.
"The swinging was fun," said Annie. "The tiger was scary."
Just then, the tree began to shake. Branches snapped below.
"Oh, no," said Jack.
"Can tigers climb trees?" asked Annie.
"Probably," said Jack. He hugged the trunk and squeezed his eyes shut.
From below came loud sounds of chewing, smacking, and crunching. Teddy growled. Jack groaned.
"Now the tiger's eating the tree," he said,
and Annie burst into laughter. Ka and Ko whooped as if they were laughing, too.
"Arf! Arf!" barked Teddy.
"What?" said Jack, opening his eyes.
"Look," Annie pointed out at the twilight. A thick gray tube was waving in the air.
"Another snake?" said Jack, horrified.
"No, an elephant trunk," said Annie.
The trunk wiggled near Jack and Annie as if it were sniffing them. Then it picked leaves from the tree and disappeared.
"Let's go see," said Annie.
With Teddy still in his backpack, Jack followed Annie down to a lower branch. They peered out at the twilight forest. In the gray gloom, they saw a herd of elephants. One stood beneath their tree, eating leaves. Others munched on grass.
"Hey, I've got a really cool idea," said Annie.
"Uh-oh," said Jack. "What is it?"
"I know how to escape the tiger," said Annie. "Our book said tigers don't attack elephants, right?"
"Yeah," said Jack.
"So we should travel through the forest on the back of an elephant," said Annie.
Jack nodded slowly. "That is a cool idea," he said, "but no buts. I'll get on first," said Annie.
She climbed down the tree until she was close to the elephant's back. She carefully lowered herself off a branch. When her feet rested on the elephant's back, she let go of the branch and slowly sat down. The elephant let out a low rumbling sound and shifted her weight.
"Don't worry, it's just me," Annie said softly, and she patted the huge creature's back.
"Thanks, Saba."
"Saba," said Jack.
"That's her name," said Annie. "She just told me."
"Yeah, right," said Jack.
"Arf, arf," barked Teddy.
"Come on, Jack," said Annie. "It's not scary."
Jack sighed and slowly climbed down the tree. When he was above Saba, he lowered himself off the branch. He put both feet on the elephant, then he carefully sat down in front of Annie.
Saba rumbled again.
"Tell her not to worry," said Annie. "Pat her head."
"Don't worry, Saba," Jack said, and he patted the elephant's head. Her skin was rough and wrinkled.
The elephant curled her trunk back and rested it on Jack's head.
"Hi," he said in a small voice, and Saba flapped her ears.
Ka and Ko swung to the ground in front of Saba. They chattered at her. She waved her trunk at them. The langurs began bounding through the forest, and Saba followed. The rest of the herd followed in line. Saba walked with a calm, rolling motion. Jack felt as if he were riding over ocean waves. A full moon was rising above the trees.
"Where are we going?" Jack asked.
"Just relax," said Annie. "Ka and Ko know where to go."
"Arf, arf," Teddy barked from Jack's backpack.
"You relax too," Jack said to the little dog. Fireflies blinked. The moon lit a path between the trees as the elephants marched on. From a distance came a low growl.
"Is that the tiger?" Jack wondered.
The elephants paid no attention. They kept walking through the warm woods. They marched slowly under hanging vines and through misty clearings. Ka and Ko bounded ahead of them, two moon shadows leading the way.
"We're going far from the treehouse," said Jack.
"Don't worry," Annie said, and suddenly a long roar split the night, and a chill went down Jack's spine. The roar came again. It turned into a yowling. The yowling turned into steady moaning. It sounded as if the whole forest were moaning.
"That's a really sad sound," said Annie sleepily.
"Yeah," said Jack. But the elephants all marched on. Jack rocked in sleepy rhythm with Saba's walk. He could hear Teddy snoring in his backpack. Soon, Jack's head rested on Saba's back. He began drifting in and out of dreams, dreams of rocking in a boat under the dark treetops.
"Caw, caw, rock, rock, rock!"
Jack slowly came out of his dream. He opened his eyes with a start. He was surrounded by hazy sunlight. "Where am I?" he thought in a panic. Then he remembered. He was in India on an elephant's back. He sat up. Through the haze, he saw that Saba was standing on a muddy stream bank. Jack yawned. Where was Annie? The other elephants were upstream. They sprayed water on each other with their trunks. Teddy, Ka, and Ko were at the edge of the forest. Teddy sniffed the tall grass. The langurs ate flowers.
"Good morning," called Annie. She was sitting on a big black rock downstream. She was barefoot and soaking wet.
"Hi," said Jack. "How did you get down?"
"Teddy and I slid off Saba into the mud," said Annie.
"Try it, but throw down your sneakers and backpack first."
Annie went to Saba's side. Her feet were buried in mud up to her ankles.
Jack threw his things to Annie. Then he patted Saba's rough, wrinkled skin.
"Thanks for the ride," he said softly.
The elephant touched him one last time with her trunk. Jack slid down her side, feet first, and fell into the mud. He caught himself with his hands. They sank into the mud past his wrists. His glasses were spattered, too.
"Wash up in the stream," Annie said. She put Jack's pack and shoes on the rock while Jack waded into the cool water. He washed the mud off his hands and feet. He rinsed off his glasses. Then he looked around. Saba had joined the rest of the herd. The elephants looked beautiful in the morning mist. Everything looked beautiful. Yellow and blue water birds spread their wings. Mossy hanging vines swayed in the breeze. Huge white flowers floated on top of the stream. Then Jack saw a strange sight. It looked like a horn and two ears sticking out of the water. One ear flicked away a fly. "There's a weird creature out here," he called to Annie. "It looks like it has a horn." Annie waded into the stream. "I better check the book," said Jack. He hurried to his pack, wiping his wet hands on his T-shirt, and he pulled out the India book. There was a picture of a horn sticking out of the water. He read, "The one-horned rhinoceros, or rhino, washes in a forest stream. Rhinos are not usually dangerous, but because they do not see very well, they sometimes charge at things by mistake. A loud noise will usually stop them." Jack felt sorry for the rhinos. Too bad animals can't wear glasses, he thought, and he read some more. "The Indian rhino is a very endangered animal. This means that there are not many left. People called poachers kill them and sell their body parts as medicine and good luck charms." Jack started to take out his notebook, but just then a slurpy sloshing sound came from the water. "Whoa!" said Annie, and Jack looked up. The rhino rose from the stream. He looked like an ancient swamp creature. "Oh, man!" said Jack, and the rhino peered at Annie with his tiny eyes. Then he snorted and lowered his head, his horn pointed right at Annie. "Make a loud noise!" Jack yelled. Annie clapped her hands and shouted, "We come in peace!" The rhino stopped. He grunted. Then he sank back into the water, and Annie laughed. "Whew," said Jack. "I better take some notes about that big guy." "Arf, arf," Teddy barked from the edge of the forest. "And I better get Teddy," said Annie. She hurried out of the stream and ran to get the dog. Jack pulled out his notebook and wrote, "One-horned rhino, an endangered animal. Need glasses." "Jack," shouted Annie. She was racing toward him with Teddy at her heels. "Come quick." "What's wrong?" he said. "We found something terrible." Annie was close to tears. "Really terrible." Jack threw his things into his pack and followed Annie to the forest edge. Teddy stayed close to them, whining. Ka and Ko bounced around, chattering nervously. As Jack got closer, he saw a tiger. The tiger was lying on its side, completely still. His eyes were closed. His front paw was caught in a trap. "Is he dead?" said Jack. "No, he's still breathing," Annie said. A tear ran down her cheek. "He's worn out from struggling. He must have gotten caught last night. That's the sad sound we heard." "What can we do?" said Jack. "We have to free him," said Annie. She started toward the tiger. "Wait, wait," Jack grabbed her. "Tigers eat people, you know." And he took a deep breath. "Let's see what the book says first." "Hurry," said Annie. Jack opened their India book, and he found a chapter called Tiger Traps, and he read, "Poachers catch Indian tigers with steel traps. This is against the law. After trapping a tiger, they kill it and sell the body parts for money. Like the rhino, the tiger is a very endangered species. If the killing does not end, they both face extinction. Extinction means that someday there may be no Indian tigers or rhinos left on Earth." "Oh, man, we do have to save him," said Jack. Under the writing was a picture of a steel trap used to catch tigers. Jack studied it. It looked horrible and deadly. "Okay," he said. He showed the picture to Annie. "Here's the plan. I'll push down on this part. The trap will spring open. Then you pull his leg out. Got it?" "Got it," said Annie. "Sit, Teddy." And the little dog sat. The langurs watched silently as Jack and Annie moved closer to the tiger. He was the most majestic creature Jack had ever seen. His huge head was a dark orange color. He had perfect black and white stripes around his wide face. The leg in the ugly steel trap was bleeding. Slowly, silently, Jack pushed down the lever. He raised the bar off the tiger's leg. The tiger kept sleeping. Slowly, silently, Annie freed the tiger's leg. She stroked his fur gently. "Get well," she whispered, but the tiger didn't move. Slowly, silently, Jack and Annie stood up. They turned around. They started tiptoeing back toward the langurs. "Coo, coo, coo," warned Ka and Ko. Jack and Annie turned back. The tiger was on his feet. He stared right at them. His eyes seemed to glow. Jack looked about wildly. How could they escape? The tiger snarled at Jack and Annie. Then, slowly, silently, he started towards them. The huge tiger limped closer and closer to Jack and Annie. Jack clapped his hands. "We come in peace," he shouted. But the tiger didn't turn away. His eyes blazed. His lip curled. "Arf! Arf!" Teddy barked fiercely at Annie. "Teddy says run and hide," said Annie. She grabbed Jack's hand and pulled him over to the bank. "Wait, what about Teddy?" he cried. "Don't worry," Annie said. She pulled Jack down behind the black rock. "What about Teddy?" Jack asked again. "He's okay. He told me," said Annie. Jack heard Teddy's barks turn to fierce growls. "Arf! Arf! Arr!" The growls grew louder and louder. "That doesn't sound like Teddy," said Jack. And then suddenly there was silence. A strange silence. "Teddy?" Annie asked. Now she sounded worried. Annie raised her head. She and Jack both peered over the rock. Teddy stood tall and brave in the grass. The tiger was limping away. He disappeared between the trees. All the forest seemed to hold its breath until Annie broke the silence. "Teddy, you're a wonder dog," she said. The langurs clapped and jumped up and down. "Arf! Arf!" Teddy was just like a small, scruffy dog again. He wagged his tail and ran to Annie and Jack. Annie scooped him up into her arms. "You saved us," she said. "How did you drive away that tiger?" asked Jack, rubbing Teddy's head. "Did you turn into a wild dog?" Teddy just panted and licked them both. Jack pushed his glasses into place and looked back at the forest. "Well, I guess we won't be getting a thank you gift from that tiger," he said. Annie laughed. "I guess not," she said. I wonder where our gift is." "And I wonder where the treehouse is," said Jack. Ka and Ko chattered at Jack. Then they bounded down the bank, waving their arms. "They want us to follow them again," said Annie. "Come on." She and Jack grabbed their things off the rock, and they hurried down the stream after the langurs. The water shimmered in the early light. Silver fish leaped into the air. Teddy bounded ahead with Ka and Ko. Soon they disappeared around a bend. Jack and Annie followed them. When they went around the bend, they saw a man sitting cross-legged on a rock. The langur sat close to him. The man's eyes were closed. He had long white hair and a long white beard. His skin was brown. He looked very peaceful. Ka and Ko smoothed the man's hair with their little paws and patted his cheeks gently. The man smiled and whispered to the langurs. His eyes stayed closed. Teddy walked up to the man and licked his hands. The man still didn't open his eyes, but he stroked Teddy's fur. "Knock, knock," Annie said softly. "Is someone there?" the man asked. He turned his face toward Jack and Annie. Now his eyes were open, but he did not seem to see them. Jack realized the man was blind. "Hi, I'm Annie," said Annie. "And I'm Jack," said Jack. The blind man smiled. "Good," he said, nodding. "Would you like to visit with me?" "Sure," said Annie. She and Jack sat down next to the man. "Do you live in this forest?" Annie asked. "Yes, I do," he said. "Are you a hermit?" Jack asked. "Yes," the blind man said. "What's a hermit?" asked Annie. "Hermits live far away from other people," said the blind man. "We like to be alone to think. I live in the forest, so I can learn from nature." "How do you learn?" asked Jack. "I listen," said the blind man. "Listen to what?" asked Jack. "To the chatter of the monkeys, the rumble of the elephant, the roar of the tiger," said the man. "I have listened for so long, they've all begun to sound like one voice, the one great voice of the forest." "Did the voice tell you that a tiger got caught in a trap last night?" asked Annie. "Yes," the hermit said. "And did it tell you that after we saved him, he tried to attack us?" said Jack. And the blind man smiled. "Please, bring me one of the white flowers floating on the stream," he said. And Jack wondered why the hermit was changing the subject. But Annie jumped up and hurried to the stream. She pulled at one of the large flowers. It came up, muddy root and all, and she took it to the blind man. "Thank you," he said. The man touched the flower's large white petals and its dirty root. "This perfect lotus blossom grows from dark, thick mud," he said. "Its beauty cannot live without its ugliness. Do you understand?" "Yes," said Jack and Annie. "When you saved the tiger, you saved all of him," said the blind man. "You saved his graceful beauty and his fierce, savage nature. You cannot have one without the other." "Oh, right," said Jack. "Take this lotus as a thank you gift from all the forest for saving our fierce friend," said the blind man. "Our world would not be complete without him." Annie took the gift from the hermit. "A gift from a forest far away," she said. "Arf, arf!" Teddy wagged his tail. The langurs clapped. "We can go home now," said Jack, "if we can just find the way." "Do not worry," said the blind man. "Your house in the trees is close by. The elephants walked in a large circle. So you are back at the place where you started." "Really?" said Jack. The blind man pointed to the sky, and there was the magic treehouse, high in a nearby tree. "Oh, great," breathed Jack. "I told you not to worry," said Annie. She and Jack pulled on their socks and shoes and stood up. Before they left, Annie touched the hand of the blind man. "Thanks for everything," she said. The man held her hand for a moment. Then he took Jack's hand. Jack felt a wave of calm wash over him. "Thank you," he said to the blind man. Ka and Ko chattered and held out their long arms. Jack and Annie hugged the two langurs. "We'll miss you," said Annie. "You were a great tour guide," said Jack. "Goodbye." Then he and Annie took off for the magic treehouse with Teddy scampering after them. At the rope ladder, Jack put Teddy into his pack and climbed up. Annie carried the lotus blossom as she followed them. Inside the treehouse, Jack picked up the Pennsylvania book. But before he made a wish, he looked out the window with Annie. In the distance, they saw Saba and the other elephants bathing in the stream. They saw Ka and Ko swinging on vines. They saw the tiger sunbathing in the grass, licking his sore leg. They saw tiny deer grazing. They saw bright birds in the trees. They saw the blind man sitting in front of his cave. He was smiling. Jack opened the book. He pointed to a picture of the Frog Creek woods. "I wish we could go home," he said. And the treehouse started to spin, and the wind started to blow. It blew harder and harder. And then everything was still. Absolutely still. Jack opened his eyes. Late afternoon sunlight shined into the treehouse. "Our third gift," Annie said. She put the lotus blossom beside the pocket watch from the Titanic and the eagle's feather from the Lakota Indians. "One more gift," she said to Teddy, "and you'll be free from your spell." The little dog licked her hand. "Hey, tell me this," said Jack. "How did you know Teddy wanted us to hide behind that rock?" Annie shrugged. "I just knew," she said. "I think I saw it in his eyes." "You did?" Jack looked into Teddy's eyes. The little dog tilted his head and stared back at Jack. Teddy's eyes twinkled as if they held many secrets. "Who are you, really?" whispered Jack. Teddy just smiled a doggy smile and wagged his tail. "Come for us again soon," Annie said. "Okay?" Teddy sneezed as if to say, "Of course." Jack grabbed his pack, then he and Annie climbed down the rope ladder. When they stood on the ground, they looked up. A little black nose was poking out the treehouse window. "Bye," they called. "Arf, arf!" Jack and Annie took off between the trees. Birds sang in the twilight. Squirrels scampered playfully through the leaves. The Frog Creek woods were very tame after the forests in India. Soon they came to their street. As they walked to their house, the last bit of daylight was slipping away. Before they went inside, Jack and Annie sat on their steps. "I have two questions," said Jack. "If the hermit couldn't see, how did he know about the treehouse? And how did he know that we had traveled all night with the elephants?" "Easy," said Annie. "The one great voice of the forest told him." "Hmm," said Jack. He closed his eyes for a moment and listened. He heard a car going down the street. He heard a woodpecker pecking. He heard crickets chirping. He heard a screen door opening. He heard a mom saying, "Time for dinner, kids." All the sounds were like one great voice. The one great voice of home. And Jack and Annie got the lotus flower, their third gift. They have one more to get to break the spell of Teddy. One more. They have to get a gift from a kangaroo, and they'll break the spell. I bet they'll do it tomorrow night. I hope you come back to find out who is Teddy really, and what's the spell he's been under. That's going to be an exciting finish to this group of stories from the Magic Treehouse, Jack and Annie's Tigers at Twilight. Well, if you look outside, I see the sun on the trees, and it is kind of twilight out right now, isn't it? I bet if you close your eyes, you can almost picture yourself in the jungle. Maybe a tiger is right behind that tree in the bushes. Don't let that keep you awake, though. Head off to bed and have a great night's sleep, and we'll come back tomorrow with more stories on Reading with Rick, okay? Good night, everybody.